try carrying it from the airport. Actually, try getting it in your car when it's pitch black.
Actually, I want to thank you for inviting me, because I always consider an invitation a privilege, not an expectation to be here. I can't tell you what's like in Sacramento, because it was pitch black when I got to the airport this morning. I was in the shower at 4 o'clock this morning, more out of the need to wake up than for hygiene purposes. I don't know what I did to make George angry with me this early on the agenda. I'm here. There are a couple of handouts I'd like to go through with you. What's happening in Sacramento in our office, basically, is that nothing has changed. We process jurisdictional boundaries, attachment areas, send the information to you, take a break, and then start all over again, so it's all the same. But just to, if you will look at this one with two pages, for the changes that we processed that are effective for 2005-06, that is a list of all the counties. You'll see there's a total of 58,656 tax rate areas. You can see your county where you are. You can see where you are in relationship to all of the other counties. One of the responsibilities that I have in my office is I am responsible for consolidating existing tax rate areas that are identical and getting rid of duplicates when possible. The last couple of years, I haven't done much in this area. We were pretty aggressive for a while. Took a break, aggressive again. We've had to slow down a little bit because of some issues dealing with personnel and workload. And I'll tell you about what's going on there in just a minute. But that's where you are. The amazing thing, Emilio, forgive me, but take a look at Los Angeles. Look at that number. Well, Los Angeles is in a process of consolidating. They're not doing the entire county at one time. I'm expecting to finish up with L.A. County in about 10 years. Because of the vast amount of duplicates that are there, the workload for L.A. County and the workload for the Board of Equalization is just so overwhelming, it's unbelievable. So we're taking it in chunks that both of us can digest. I think this year we're going to do away with about 200. Last year, those between 400 and 500 were eliminated. The difficulty is you kill one over here and another one pops over there. Pops up. So the bottom line progress is running a little bit slower than we want, but it's happening. The issues that I mentioned before, they have to do with personnel and workloads, is the fact that in 2 years, we are down three positions in our office. Okay, let's all whine to the state. Well, what that means is that we can't do as much work as we're required to do. So what has happened over the last year is we have spent a lot of time studying our business processes, how do we do things, and making some radical changes in our workflow. We do this by looking at what we actually do. When we move a piece of paper from desk 1 to desk 2 to desk 3, why are we moving it there? When it hits desk 1, what happens in that process? When it gets to desk 2, what's happening? So we've gone through, looked at these things, done some extensive analysis, pulled out the meat cleaver, and started whacking. What that means is up till about 4 years ago, we were working approximately 2,000 hours of overtime every year to process changes. That's one PY, one personnel a year, divided between the staff. We were actually working 13 months at a 12-month period. So we started at that point looking at what can we eliminate in our process and still get the product out to you in the county. And start coming back. We haven't done overtime in the last 2 years. The last 4 years. For the changes for 2005-06, we actually finished our workload. Got the data out to the counties. We mailed on February 28th, which is our deadline. We finished on time for the first time since 1934. Feel a little good about that. Like I said, we're down 3 positions. Two of those positions, for those of you who've been around for a while, will remember David Martin and Fred Spitzer. Between them, it was 78 years of history working in tax area services. They didn't work in any other unit that whole time. They were 35 and 37 years when they retired. Of service, not age. So a lot of history went with them. Well, in processing the boundary changes, we were able to accommodate that by starting earlier, working faster, smarter. But the third position that we lost in March was Janet Nicholas, who was our printer. She retired. She made all the maps. She mailed it out. Anything that you received from us out of our office, she sent. She reproduced. She's gone. We're never getting that position back. Not only we're not getting a body, we're not getting that classification to do that particular function. That's when we started pulling out the meat cleaver and working on it. We have come to now where I'm confident that we will still finish, if not on time, in a timely manner, within days, by changing our processes of what we do. We've been able to absorb that work. Part of the reason that we're able to do that is on the same page, if you flip it over, is a list of the counties that we have the digital parcel base that we have received from the counties, and that's what we're working on. What that means is, on a purely unscientific analysis, it takes us about 25 to 40% less time to process a change on one of these counties than it does for a paper-based county. What happens, or what is happening, is you've heard me beg and plead every year is to acquire those parcel bases from the counties. We're up to 24 that are functioning. We have 3 that are sitting on the shelf waiting to be processed as soon as we finish changes. And then we have three that actually are in the mail. They were mailing them this week to us, and so they'll be on the shelf hopefully by the time we get back. Riverside is a special issue. We got Riverside actually all not a year ago, 8-9 months ago. And I promised Doug faithfully that it would be up and running when we started processing changes this year, and it didn't happen. Because if you look at the number of tax rate areas in Riverside, 5,700. It was just overwhelming. The magnitude of what we had to do. Anna Marie was doing Riverside, and I thought she was going to have a nervous breakdown. And she is our best worker. So we had to start changes, so we had to stop at that point, and as soon as possible we'll pick that up, and it will be up and running again by the time we meet next year. A couple of other counties, Santa Clara went through the consolidation and they lost 80% of their tax rate areas. 80% of. Well, as soon as we get that map from Santa Clara, because there's fewer TRAs, it's going to take less time for us to process and get that digital county up and running for us. But that is one of the ways that has made my life easier, and consequently the folks that I tell to do my work for me a lot easier, because it's just simpler work day. Another net result of this cost savings in time, and all the way down the line, any way you want to analyze it, has made a significant impact in another area. In that, we all know how government works. We started rewriting the guidelines for submission to us for jurisdictional boundary change 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ago, they were just approved by the Board of Equalization, the elected officers, August 26th or some date like that. 2.5 years, and it's only a 5-page document. Well, it got approved. Coming out of that whole process is that fees that we charge, which you're all familiar with, subscription fees, had to be justified, again, to the board. Well, we made a proposal to the board because there were some different, because of changes in technology, changes in the way we work, understanding Public Records Act, the Revenue and Taxation Code that affect us, and so there is a new fee schedule for subscriptions. You may have noticed you haven't gotten an invoice yet for your renewal, for those of you who are still doing it. Well, one of the reasons you haven't, I'll be honest here, I haven't gotten it yet, is because in all of the things going on, I forgot to send them out. So next week, we'll be dealing with that. Now, the fees were based upon a number of factors in the calculation. One of them, to encourage consolidation, it was the number of tax rate areas in your county. That was a factor in the formula. The other was the amount of time spent processing changes in your county, and we kept track of that. And they were weighted, time was 5 times more than tax rate areas. Also, the number of filings was a factor. We have this magic formula that gives me a headache every time I do it, and we came up with a number. Well, the minimum subscription is $350, which was about half of the counties, was that. The highest, Emilio can tell you, was $4,200 a year. Because of the changes, the way we work, and the justification, everybody's paying the same price though. You're all waiting. Some of you are going to be very happy. All of you are going to be very happy because the single price of subscription for tax rate area change note service is $150. That's how big a sea change has happened with technology and in processing our work. It benefits us, and it's definitely benefiting you. One of the things that is a hot topic of conversation and has been for a number of years in the conversion, not only in our office, but in your office and every other office that deals with GIS and uses the assessor's parcel information as the common language for what they're doing. And let me tell you, there are more people than you can imagine that rely on the assessor's parcel information. And I'm talking about Department of Fish and Game, Department of Health Services at the state level, Caltrans, Department of Corrections, Department of Justice, rely on information from you. But one of the things that has been talked about for the last 20 years is recouping the development costs and recovering the expense that the counties lay out to capture that information electronically, whereas it has been maintained for Lord knows how long on a piece of paper or index cards or whatever, but moving it over to an electronic object. The second handout to look at, which I don't have, but it is a white, I found it somebody pointed it out to me, it's a white paper from the GITA, Geographic Information Technology Association, and it has to do with fee or free. Should you charge for the information that you have? It was a survey of a number of people, I don't know who, but it makes some interesting observations. A big part of it actually takes the issue and does a survey analysis of not only the United States, but Canada, Australia, New Zealand, a number of other nations that are dealing with the same question. So that's just something in your spare time to read, to look at. It's interesting. Talking about charging for the data, I assume that you're aware that your bosses are meeting Monterey, I think it is, the Assessors Association. And I've been told that they are talking about another document which came out October 4th. There was a meeting yesterday, which is the reason I didn't come last night. The California State GIS Council in Sacramento. And that was in the morning, and then in the afternoon, a subgroup of that was the Digital Land, DLRI, Digital Land Record Information, work group. The whole idea of taking all of the information about land records and making it digital and accessible. Well, what happened was on October 4th, which is the last, this looks like this. It is the Attorney General's opinion about selling assessors' information. A little bit of history, just so you understand my position. For the last 8 or 9 years, if you happen to be in Sacramento, you would have heard me whining and moaning, asking for something like this. And you saw how far I got in 8 or 9 years. A private vendor went to his legislator. They wanted to buy some information. What they were doing was trying to acquire digital parcel data from a number of counties, and were being met with either resistance or a rather large bill. Invoice. So he went to his legislator and said, wait a second, folks. My reading of the California Records Act is that they cannot do this. So the legislator, Joe Nation, went to the Attorney General's office, imposed a series of questions. There were actually about 7 or 8 questions, which the Attorney General distilled into three, grouped them into three questions. Those three questions are on, if you flip it over on page one, and I'll just quickly give you the three questions. Is partial boundary map data maintained in electronic format by a county assessor subject to public inspection and copying under provisions of the California Public Records Act? That's the main question. If so, in what period of time must the county furnish a copy of the data upon request of a member of the public? And third, what fee may be charged by a county for furnishing a copy of the data to a member of the public? Answers. I like the way this guy wrote, because he put the answers at the front of the book, not at the back. So on page two, the answers to the question of one parcel boundary map data maintained by a county assessor in electronic format is subject to inspection and copying under provisions of the California Public Records Act. Two, a copy of parcel boundary map data maintained in electronic format by a county assessor must be furnished promptly upon request by a member of the public. And number three, get ready for this one. The fee that may be charged by a county for furnishing a copy of parcel boundary map data maintained in electronic format by a county assessor is generally limited to the amount that covers the direct cost of producing the copy, but may include certain other costs depending upon the particular circumstances as specified in the California Public Records Act. Basically, what the Attorney General is saying is that your map data, if it's an electronic format, is subject to the California Public Records Act the same way your paper map is, and has to be disseminated in a timely manner for a charge equal to the cost of reproduction. Now, there are provisions within the Records Act that give you some ideas of how to calculate that cost. A reasonable cost can be, for me, when I make a copy of my data, it takes, even for Los Angeles County, the largest county, takes me about 10 minutes because I have to cut the cellophane off of the CD and throw it in there. It would take less than 10 minutes, but my machine is 4 years old. It would take less time. Now, I could also, in that calculation, determine, the CD is going to cost me about a quarter because we buy millions in bulk. The envelope to mail it in is probably another 10 or 15 cents. It takes me about 10 minutes, and at my wage, about 3 cents. But you can calculate and add all of these things in. But the caveat to the whole thing is that it must be a reasonable cost of reproduction. Well, what exactly does it mean? I don't know. Because as one of the, there's a whole bunch of you folks not here because they were at the meeting yesterday and had to send somebody else to the meeting here so that they could go there. And the comments which are probably valid, is that one particular county assessor said, well, that's just the Attorney General's opinion. And that's true. An Attorney General's opinion does not have force of law until it is taken to court and a judge says, that is the interpretation of the law that is effective. How likely is it that the AG's opinion will be challenged in court? I cannot give you an official opinion. I can give you a personal opinion. Probably going to happen. And it will not be stemming from a state agency coming to you. It will not be because I come and say, I want your parcel base and I'm only going to pay $50 for it because that's what it costs. Where it's going to come from, and I've already had about 10 people tell me this separately, private vendors, resellers, value-added resellers who want to acquire the data, package it, resell it, make a living. They're the ones that are going to challenge it. And they already have their lawyers writing it and they're ready to go. So that's just a warning. This is what's going to be on the horizon in the next, I'm not saying it's going to happen next week or next month, because these things all take time. Part of the meeting yesterday was an attempt to find a common ground between the private sector and the public sector, between the county and the state, so that this will all take place. And it's not going to happen at your level. It's a little bit higher up the food chain. Some mindsets are going to be challenged. And coming out of it, whatever judicial decision happens, will force some mindsets to change. One of the things that will happen is that when it is, as soon as we can, this opinion will be appearing as an appendix to the AH-215. Well, please tell me you all know what the AH-215 is. I have actually encountered several counties that didn't know what I was talking about, which tells me two things. One is that particular personnel or county needs additional professional training. Second thing it tells me is that the AH-215 is meaningless. The question that I've been grappling with for the last couple of years and trying to do something about is that if you actually look at the AH-215, there's some very good and very valuable information in there. But when you start getting into the technical portion of it, and start applying it to what you're actually doing, it's incredibly out of date. Just for a little exercise, when you want to look like you're working to your boss, but you're not really interested in working, is pick up the AH-215 and look at it. There are about three or four forms in there, it gives examples, that from my office, that we have not used in over 10 years. That's how out of date it is. Well, at this point in time, we do kind of an unofficial survey, and it's time to do an official survey again. Out of the 58 counties, there are only a handful of about five or six that have not moved into digital technology. Well, if you're adhering to the AH-215 and you're first going into automated mapping with the clear intent of headed towards a full-blown GIS, you're actually maintaining two systems. You're maintaining an electronic system and you're maintaining an out-of-date AH-215 system. Well, I go back to what we just did in our office. Throwing out things that are unnecessary in trying to streamline the process. But what that means is I have been attempting for the last 2 or 3 years to work on getting the age 215 rewritten to accommodate, well, at least bring it kicking and screaming up to the 1990s, if not the 1980s. But there have been some outside questions and pressure put on, so it has now gotten the attention of the people who approve this sort of thing to do something about it, because they had some requests basically from your assessors, which is a good thing, and I welcome that. Thank you for telling them. But what has happened is that this is now moving up to the front burner, and I'm hoping to have some action happening on this in the next year. Let me give you a little scenario of what I anticipate to do, and that is to have at least 3 meetings in different places. One of the difficulties in rewriting the AH 215, and it's a huge problem in my office, is that none of the people who work in my office have ever worked at the county assessor's office. We don't know what you do, but we're going to tell you how to do it. What's going to happen is, what I'm anticipating is there will be a meeting in Sacramento. There will be a meeting somewhere in the southern end of the valley, Fresno, Madero, someplace, in someplace in Southern California. We're going to invite you to come and meet so that you can make it geographically advantageous, so it'll be a day drive without having to fight for travel expense from your office. And we're going to listen to what you have to say. We're going to explain our needs, why some of those things are there, and hopefully, you know, arrive at some sort of consensus about what it is that we need to write a guideline about. So I'm hoping that by this time next year, it won't be finished, but a major portion of the discussion will have taken place, and when we meet in Santa Cruz, we won't have to worry about it. We'll be on the beach.
One question. Sure. The impact, a lot of the GIS for the county, for the continuous database, is not maintained or owned by the assessor's office. I don't know if Public Works and other, or a GIS overhead. Is there any feelings about this? You know, how that would affect, you know, not typically the assessor's data?
Well, there's a... George wants me to shut up. You're absolutely correct, and that is one of the deficiencies of the AG's opinion. It doesn't address that situation, and it is a major question that needs to be answered. What I would suggest is, if you have that type of question, for, and probably more than half of you do, maybe 3/4, 90%, is get a hold of someone, your county lobbyist, and have them pose the question and get a follow-up on the AG's opinion. Because they are very significant issues that, when you're going to do the calculation of the reasonable cost of reproduction, because one of the things that is not allowed in the Public Records Act is you cannot recover the cost of development and the cost of maintenance. And the reason for that, just real quickly, is the reason for that is if no one comes in and looks at it, you still are going to do it because you're required by law. So I would encourage you, you know, if it is a major issue in your county, have your assessor get together with the county lobbyists, the Assessors Association, have them ask the question of the Attorney General.
Thank you, Ralph.